Welcome to Faith for Living.
Could it be that things have gotten in the way of that relationship? They have a way of doing that. Our sin, our indifference pulls us away from that sweet relationship with Him. And that relationship somehow becomes more of a memory than a reality. What do you do?
First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga brings you today's teaching designed to apply God's Word to the struggles and challenges of our day, that we might have faith for living. Well, this week, Dr. Mike Pregg brings us a message entitled, God's Indescribable Christmas Gift, Emmanuel. The Bible text for today is from Matthew chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 18 through 25. Here now is Dr. Mike Pregg.
We focus especially this morning, of course, on verse 23. The virgin will be with child, give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us means God coming down to this earth and God living in the midst of His people. In some respects, this presence of God was not really something new, because God had been present in the past. He was present in the very first place with Adam and Eve. God, we read, walked with them in the Garden of Eden. They walked and they talked with God. But then we know that sin entered into that beautiful picture, and there was a break in their communication. God was still present in the garden. Even in Genesis 3 at verse 8, we read that the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. But the verse goes on to say that they hid from God among the trees of the garden. And even though God was still with them, Adam and Eve no longer wanted to be with God. And eventually, of course, they were driven out of the garden and out of the presence of God. And so, in a sense, at least in Adam and Eve, we were no longer with God. Through the years that followed, God still maintained communication. And He did that through certain individuals, men like Enoch, for instance, and Noah. God says in particular about those two men that they walked with God. And then God began to deal in a very special way with a man named Abraham. And through Abraham and Abraham's descendants, God was present with Israel. God said to Abraham in Genesis 17, I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you, your descendants after you, for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. Now, the presence of God became an even more distinct reality in the time of Moses. You might remember that was the time when Israel was out there wandering around in the wilderness. But God was present, wasn't He? He was a cloud by day, and He was present in that pillar of fire at night. And then He was present in thunder and lightning as Moses was up on top of Mount Sinai meeting with God. It was there on that mountain that God instructed Moses. He said, have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. And so this sanctuary, this tent, this tabernacle in the wilderness is constructed, wasn't it? And the cloud of glory, the presence of God comes down, and God inhabits that section of the tabernacle called the Holy of Holies. And then this presence of God becomes localized in what was called the Ark of the Covenant. And that was kind of a little box. It was about 4 feet long, maybe 2.5 feet square, made out of acacia wood, covered over with pure gold, and had that special place on the top of it called the mercy seat that spoke of the forgiveness of God, which was came through the sacrificial system in those days. You might remember that that ark was very special in the history of the nation of Israel, and that when they were going into the promised land, that ark went across the Jordan River ahead of them. Symbolically, in that ark, God was leading them into the promised land. Later on, things didn't go so well. The ark was captured by the Philistines, and Israel felt that the glory had departed from them in the ark. But that ark gave the Philistines nothing but trouble. They were not the people of God. They had no right to the presence of God. And so eventually they sent the ark back to Israel. And it was a great day in the history of God's people when King David danced in front of that ark coming into the city of Jerusalem. Perhaps an even greater day when David's son Solomon constructed the temple and God took up permanent residence, if you will, in that temple. That was a high point. After that, things began to go downhill. Why? Why? Because Israel began to presume upon the presence of God. They began to take God for granted. Why is that important for us to realize? Because you and I still do that. In those days, they thought they could kind of keep God around in that little box that I described earlier. They thought that he would be available, whether they paid very much attention to him or not. They thought God was kind of on call, whether they worshiped him or they worshiped their idols. God was around to meet their needs, whether they worshiped God or they worshiped Baal. Galatians chapter 6 at verse 7. The Apostle Paul writes these very sobering words. Do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. Then and now, there are circumstances when we take God for granted. Back then, it went this way. The northern kingdom, Israel, was destroyed by Assyria. And finally, even Judah was destroyed, and the people were carried off into exile in Babylon. The people of God were removed from the holy city of Jerusalem, and even the ark of the covenant was lost. And it still is, in spite of Indiana Jones and all of his efforts. But more importantly than what happened to the ark is what became of the God of Israel. You see, the people had pulled away from him, but he had not really left them. He was still speaking to his prophets, like Isaiah. And so it is in Isaiah chapter 7, which, by the way, is the passage that's part of the scripture in Matthew that we read earlier this morning. In Isaiah chapter 7, we read of a man named Ahaz, who was the king of Judah. The year was 735 BC. The kingdom of Israel in the north was about to pass out of existence, and it would be only a matter of time for the southern kingdom of Judah. King Ahaz was threatened at that time by an alliance between Israel and Syria. And these enemies threatened to remove King Ahaz from his throne in Judah, and they were going to replace him. They were going to install their own king, Tabeel, in his place. It wasn't very good news for Ahaz. But Ahaz was a descendant of King David. And so God had promised, and Ahaz was in line, to have an eternal line of kings descended from King David. He said to David, I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And so now the question was, would this promise of God be set aside by the threats of these two petty kings from Israel and Syria? Well, I hope you already know the answer to that. Absolutely not. And it is into that situation that God originally spoke through Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. God had promised this sign of hope to King Ahaz. And now Matthew is writing 700 years later. And he's recording the fulfillment of that promise. The angel here is telling Joseph that this ancient prophecy will finally be fulfilled in the birth of his and Mary's son, who, by the way, will occupy the throne of David forever. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. God would be present with us in person. In the person of Jesus Christ, God would be present as a man. So that Paul can write, in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. If you've thought about that at all, you haven't been able to think about it. It stretches our minds beyond the point that they can be stretched. I mean, we've heard of many famous people, but we've actually met few, if any, of them in person. But God was now present in person. He was walking here on this earth in the person of Jesus Christ. He was walking around with his disciples, and some of you have been over there in that country that we now know as Israel. God himself was touching lives. God himself raised that little girl up from the dead. God himself made that blind man to see. God was talking to us. God was eating with us. Can you imagine sitting down at a table face to face with God? John put it this way, of course, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. God had come down in person. God became a man. People who lived in that day had greater communion and communication with God than even Adam and Eve had. Greater communion with God than even Moses had, or anyone else who had ever lived on this earth to that point in time. They will call him Emmanuel, God with us. But as men and women, you and I had, if we were to live then or living now, we had a big problem with this Emmanuel. If Jesus was really this promised Emmanuel, if Jesus was really God with us, then we really couldn't stand to be with him. He was truly God, the same God who came down on Mount Sinai. You might remember when God was up there on top of Mount Sinai, he warned the people through Moses, don't even come close to the bottom of that mountain or you will die. even to Moses, he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Why can't we live after we see God? Why? Because His holiness is so pure. It is so bright that it literally blinds sinners like you and like me to death. But when God came in person, when He came down as a man, when He comes as Emmanuel, God comes not only as a man, but He comes as a mediator between God and man. Jesus comes as our go-between, our middleman, the one who will plead our case before God, a mediator. He was Emmanuel, He was God with us, but you see, there was a time when God the Father was not with this mediator. When Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? God not with His own Son, so that He could be with us. When Jesus came, He came to die. And God's promise becomes at that point much more than just words. His promise of Emmanuel was now a covenant that was signed in His own blood. Remember what Jesus said in that upper room the night before He went to the cross? He said, "This cup is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin." Charles Wesley wrote in Hark the Herald Angels, "Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel." But He had to be more than just God come down to earth. His coming to earth as a man to be with us was a miracle, for sure. But the real miracle is not just God with us. The real miracle is when the Father is not with the mediator. Because the mediator, that's the miracle of miracles. The mediator is taking my sin and your sin to that cross. He paid for our sins. And now you and I can stand to be with God. Hebrews 10, since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. God had been present with His people in the past. Now in Jesus Christ, He's truly present in person. But you know, this one that is called Emmanuel said a rather strange thing to His disciples the night before He went to the cross. He said in John 16:7, "It's to your advantage that I go away." Advantageous? Better for Emmanuel to go away? Better for God not to be with them? Well, He goes on, of course, and He says, "If I don't go away, the Holy Spirit shall not come to you. If I go, I will send Him to you." And so when Jesus goes to be with His Father, God is still present in person, isn't He? But present now in the person of the Holy Spirit. And in the Holy Spirit, He is present in power. It was 40 days after Jesus left the earth on the day that is called Pentecost that the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit came to bring Jesus back with us from the right hand of the Father down with His people. The Holy Spirit is Jesus right here and right now. Jesus is not just an historical figure, though He surely is that, but Jesus is alive. And Jesus is right here and right now through the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's with us. He's forgiving our sins. He is walking with us through life, helping us to follow His commands. He's praying for us. He is present with us in power. So much so that Paul writes in Ephesians that his church now is the dwelling place of God. In Him the whole building is joined together, rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. In Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. But even in the Holy Spirit, God's presence and power is not yet all that it's going to be. Same night that Jesus said the Holy Spirit's coming, He also promised, "I'm coming back." He said, "I will come back," John 14:3, "and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am." The day is coming when Jesus Christ will be present. Present in person, present in power. First time He came to this earth, He came as a baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Second time, He'll come to earth in great power and glory, sitting on the clouds of heaven. The Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, 1 Thessalonians 4, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. That is the final and forever time of Emmanuel, the final and forever time of God being with us, the final fulfillment of the prophecy given originally through Isaiah, the prophet, and then to Joseph by the angel in our text this morning. What's it going to be like to be with the Lord forever? I can't imagine it. You can't either. The Bible says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him." The Apostle John, God, I should say, through the Apostle John, gives us a brief glimpse of what it will finally mean to be with the Lord forever. We began our study of Emmanuel this morning in the book of Genesis. We're going to end in the book of Revelation. What will it finally mean to be with the Lord forever? Revelation 21, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband, and I heard a loud voice from the throne, saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God.'" God's indescribable Christmas gift is named Emmanuel, God with us. Does this Christmas season find you with God? Do you know this God personally in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you walking through this life with Jesus? Do you talk to Jesus on any kind of a regular basis? Or have you somehow missed Christmas? Think that's possible? I mean, you've heard all about Christmas. I mean, we've all heard all about Christmas. But somehow you've missed the central meaning and message of Christmas. If you're not yet with God, let me invite you to come to Jesus Christ, to confess those sins that separate you from God. Receive Jesus Christ He is called Emmanuel, God with us. Many of you here this morning, you've already come to Jesus Christ. But maybe for some of you in that category, that happened some time ago. Christmas has come, and Christmas is gone over and over again. Perhaps on this day, you don't feel as close to God as you once did. Could it be that things have gotten in the way of that relationship? They have a way of doing that. Our sin, our indifference, pulls us away from that sweet relationship with Him. And that relationship somehow becomes more of a memory than a reality. What do? Come back to God. Christmas is a great time to do that. How do you do that? Begin by confessing. Lord, I've been indifferent. I've been a lot like those people way back when that tried to keep God in the box. I've been trying to keep you kind of out here. At arm's length. Oh yeah, I believe you are there. But you're not as real as you once were. And I've been worshiping things in my heart, idols in my heart, rather than the one who has created me and sent His Son. Rather than worshiping and serving that one who is called Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Faith for Living is brought to you by your friends at the historic First Presbyterian Church in downtown Chattanooga, Tennessee. Through expository Bible preaching, living worship, loving fellowship, and compassionate outreach, we want to be a ministry of God's grace with lives transformed through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have programs and opportunities for every age level, from the youngest to teens to 30-something to retirees. Join us for Sunday morning worship at 8:30 and 11. We're located at 554 Macaulay Avenue, across from the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga campus. Visit us in person or on the web at faithforliving.net or call 423-648-7914. Now, January 11th, 2009, will be the final Faith for Living television broadcast. For a DVD copy of this and future services, please contact April Gordon at 423-648-7919. Until then, we invite you back again next week at the same time for another edition of Faith for Living.